I panicked and thought there was no card in there. But like I've told you before, you can't actually press record without the card.
Yes.
But I panicked.
It's okay.
It's fine. Right. We're recording.
It's fine. It's fine. I feel so energetic after my one Malteser.
Yeah. This little pack that we're not sponsored by Maltesers.
Not at all.
It's this little pack and it's literally got 5 Maltesers in it.
And it was just enough.
Anyway, we're sponsored by... God. No, we're not.
I have a story about tiny packets of chocolate.
Okay.
Can you believe? I can't believe I have a story.
You always have a story.
I had this crazy uncle who has now died. Oh. He was a great uncle, so R.I.P. It was like, it's normal that he died.
Okay.
He was like 100 years old. And he wasn't, but you know. Anyway, he was completely batshit. He was my Greek uncle called Theopapu. And he didn't really know how to like relate to us as like grandkids. Like he just had no idea how to like show affection at all. And so we used to like me and my two cousins and my sister would be like playing in like the playroom in my old house. Mm. And he would come over for family lunch or whatever, and he'd come up the stairs and just open the door and just throw whole packets, like 4 whole packets of those Dairy Milk 2, you know, the snack size ones. Yeah. They're like 2 Dairy Milks, but there's like 20 in a packet. So 1 whole packet of them each, which is like 20 tiny blocks of chocolate, and then just leave.
that was his way of relating to the kids.
It was like saying, kids, I love you. Here is a shitload of chocolate. Now eat the entire packet in one go and then go piss your parents off, which is exactly what we did.
I love that.
Yeah. So
I love that so much.
A deep affection for tiny packets of chocolate. But yes, no, we're not sponsored by Maltesers. We literally just found them somewhere. I don't even know where we found them, but here we are.
I found them in my drawer. You put them there.
Mm. I mean, the moral of this story is just send us chocolate all the time because we'll probably eat it and then unintentionally advertise for you.
Yeah. It was delicious. I didn't have a crazy uncle that threw chocolate at me, but I had a great aunt that would always give me $5. And she had no money.
Oh, so that's really sweet. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, my mom always reminds me of Auntie Gwen, who used to always give me $5. She wouldn't have even had the $5. You know, she wouldn't have had it to spare.
Yeah.
But she gave it anyway.
That's a delightful, heartwarming story.
Yeah, I love a heartwarming story.
But we're not here to talk about our families.
Well, we're not here to talk about heartwarming stories either. No. We're here to talk about
bad stories.
Well, we've just both been listening to podcasts.
Yep.
I've been copying you.
Mm.
So I listened to The Dropout because you were listening to The Dropout.
Yes. Oh my God. So we could talk about it now. I didn't know what to expect because I'd heard a lot about it being really good. But I didn't know what to expect in terms of like what it was going to be about because I didn't want to know because I saw like Theranos, like I saw that word thrown around online and stuff and Elizabeth Holmes, but I didn't really
know what the company was.
And the company sounded scary and stuff. And so then I was like really not knowing what to expect and I was just blown away. I was constantly gasping.
Yeah, I was yelling at it a lot.
Yeah, same. And just like several things, like I'll always remember that bit where the guy, it all starts to blow up because the guy's working on the same street. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. We should probably give people a bit of background before I start just going on about random tiny bits in the story. So basically, Elizabeth Holmes is this like amazing young ingenue. Is that the word?
Ingenue. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, sounds like the word that you would use to describe her. And she, at 19 years old, starts this company called Theranos, which is like a blood testing company. So it's kind of like the whole premise was that they would only have to take a drop of your blood from a pinprick in your finger and they could test for like 500 different diseases. Yeah. And it was meant to be a breakthrough for like, you know, people that have diabetes and people that suffer from like pregnant people, anyone that has to take a lot of blood tests.
And people that don't like doing that. And it was going to be convenient because it was going to be popping up at Walgreens in these wellness centers. So you just walk in, you get your finger pricked and then you leave. And people that are scared of needles and things like that. So it was like this breakthrough thing.
Yeah.
But then, and this is why I kept screaming at the podcast, there was no science behind it at all.
Not at all.
And all these people just threw money at her.
Yeah.
They barely even looked into whether that could work. It's like anyone could say that I'm going to build a time machine, Mel, and I'm going to go get some investors.
Yes.
Of course you'd be like, well,
yeah,
where's the science behind this time machine? No one like looked into it.
Yeah, exactly. And like she didn't have a background. No. Like she, I think she'd done like 2 semesters of chemical engineering or something to, in that vein.
Yeah, no one Stanford.
And then dropped out to do to do this and had the backing of like one of her professors who was like super keen on the idea but also had a massive stake in the company. So it was like the whole thing was really dodgy from the get-go. She got
really big backers, like big political figures, former like Secretary of State, those kind of people. But what I thought was really interesting, and I liked that the journalist talked about this in the finale, I'm not spoiling anything, but it was just how it's that girl power gone wrong. And as a woman listening to it, I was like, I could see, and they kind of pointed this out, they're like, we wanted it to work because she was a young woman that had done this and, you know, had this idea and was leading this company, and she was really young and like a go-getter, and it was almost like, yeah, we'll throw our support behind her because she's a woman. It's like almost like reverse sexism or positive sexism. And then, but there was nothing behind it. So it just, it's, it almost worked against women in a way. Like,
Well, because this is like, it ties in so much with that, which is something I've been thinking about heaps, is that, you know, that Jussie Smollett stuff. The guy from Empire who, I think it's just now allegedly, because I think he got cleared of the charges, but it's all they a bit like weird. Yeah, but he allegedly faked a
homophobic attack,
racist attack.
I thought it was homophobic.
It might be homophobic. There was definitely race involved because
well, he is a gay black man, so maybe it's both.
So, and then like that, as if I was a person of color, I would be, I mean, as a white person, I'm so frustrated for the cause of, you know, anti-racism, anti-homophobia, let alone if I were actually a person that this affects every goddamn day, you know, that as soon as somebody does something like this, it just fuels the shit that all these assholes throw at you constantly. And so like,
he's taken it a step back.
Yeah. And because Elizabeth Holmes, like same thing, like, you know, when somebody, you know, does something so high profile, like build a fucking company that's not actually kind of real. And then they're a woman and they're young and then it fucks up. It's like just gives, adds fuel to this bullshit fire. She's just like a dumb women can't do woman.
And she puts on that fucking voice.
Oh my God, I
and dresses like Steve Jobs.
See, the voice I kind of understand in a way. It's weird. It's fucking weird.
Sounds like, guys, she puts on a deep voice, allegedly because she thinks it makes people take her more seriously because she's not talking like me and Mel.
Yeah.
And so she's like, there's all these court recordings and they're asking her these questions and she's like, I don't know, I wasn't involved in that part, my staff know about that but I wasn't involved in the day-to-day, no, I don't know. That's how she talks. That's
such a good impression. What was that thing you sent me?
It oh my god, Tavi Gevinson doing Elizabeth Holmes and Ivanka Trump.
So good.
Go and Google it. It's so funny.
It's actually the funniest thing. It was worth a Google. Like, you know, when you, when you're like, oh, I'll Google it maybe one day, it's like, no, actually do it Google now. It. It's so funny. Good.
I'll put it in the group. But yes, and she wears literally like almost dropped out of Stanford as a point because so did Bill Gates and so did Steve Jobs, I think. They both dropped out of college. So it was this whole thing of like she was almost planning this whole story, the narrative, so that people would buy into it. And they did. There was so much I remember when she was still the golden child just because I used to read Vanity Fair and they cover that kind of stuff. And you'd see – I didn't really read it because I'm not really that interested in like – tech startup but I didn't really read it, but I knew who she was, and it was this great story of she's this young gung-ho person, and now it's just like listening to it, you're just like, what? Like, it's not like listening to Dirty John or Hamish where that people being conned and that there's an emotion there and you can kind of see how they were swindled. This, I'm just like, why would you as a company give $500 million or whatever it was to where you haven't even, and the science isn't there.
And like they would go in, it's like so how many times.
Like these people are idiots.
How many times do people go to their like research space and be, and they'd be like, you can't look at this. You can't, you can only be in this one like meter by meter like square
escorting them to the toilet, the Walgreens guy.
It's just like, would you not smell a rat? Would you not just be like, maybe we should not invest with this company?
It's so wild.
I mean, it was great marketing. They did a great job. Like she did so many interviews and things. Yeah. And yeah, so I think it was really just pushed by marketing. Mm. It really goes to show how much we just buy into shit.
Yes.
Just
by that image.
Yeah, image.
When there's nothing under the surface at all. There was nothing.
Yeah. But the voice thing is funny because it sounds absolutely ridiculous. I heard someone describe it, or maybe it was in the podcast, but she sounds like a frat boy.
Yeah,
or like a surfer frat boy.
Yeah, she does.
But like, I kind of understand because, you know, I feel like even in our reviews of this podcast, how many people come for us over the way that we speak as women and like, you know, female.
They sound like teenage girls and they say like all the time and they're giggling. And so she wanted to be taken seriously. Like, you wouldn't come for a male podcast and be like, they sound like teenage boys. Although I think personally that
The Dollop podcast and The Dollop,
they both sound like, I can't listen to The Dollop. No. I actually like what they say, but they laugh at themselves.
Yes, they do.
So much. And I know that sounds really hypocritical, because so do we, but it's this like, like Beavis and Butthead. And I'm like, I can't get through it.
But they don't, like, that's just but a thing that men don't really cop. So I kind of understand why she went, okay, I'm going to go from the get-go, just put on this deep voice to like make sure that no one thinks I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, listen to it. You should definitely listen. It's really good. It's great.
I loved it.
They do it really well. And I've heard amazing things. I think it's Bad Blood is the book.
Yes.
And I really want to read it now. Everyone that I've talked to about it who's read it has been like, now you should read the book because it's even better. So.
Yeah, I want to read that. I want to read the book about Silk Road because I listened to the case file on Silk Road. Mm. It's really like, I think that's why I listened to The Dropout, because I skipped Silk Road because I thought, oh, I only care about murders because I'm a sicko. And then it was so interesting. I actually really felt like I learned something culturally after that episode. And then you were talking about The Dropout and I was like, yeah, I'll learn something here about something that happened that's not just like this person got murdered, which is still learning, but it's more of a like big social thing.
Yeah.
And I want to read the Silk Road book.
I think I just like a good story. Like, I think I like that an
unfolding really well
done story.
Yeah.
Which also leads us to the other podcast we've been listening to, which is...
which I copied from you.
Who the hell is Hamish? Well, to be fair, I copied it from some other person.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wrote about it weeks ago. I just hadn't listened to it yet and I put it in the group and people were like, it's great. And I'm like, I haven't listened to it. I just wrote about it.
like, don't people are keep interested. Asking me stuff because it'll come out that I haven't actually listened yet. where are you up to? I think you're ahead of me.
Yeah, I'm up to...
I just finished the
episode
intern.
Episode 7.
Yeah.
But it is so good.
It's so good.
I love it.
But I'm just so – I think even just from the first episode to me was like the strongest so far in the sense – and the intern is pretty strong as well. But in the sense of like I was shocked. Like, and it was so insane. So the first episode, which I don't feel like is going to give much away to anybody, basically it's following this guy who is this master con artist in Australia, and he's conned like Lisa Ho, who I don't know if you're
designer.
How old you guys are, but I used to love Lisa Ho. So I wanted one for my formal.
Yes, it was like peak formal goals.
Yeah, it was like the Shona Joy of late 90s.
She was definitely that. That's a good comparison.
And she just got like swindled of all this money, and like so did all these other sad, poor people, not sad people, but it's sad that so many people got swindled, like little cute old couples that had just retired.
He just was diabolical.
Yeah.
He could just and would just swindle anyone. He had no empathy, and he was just like, oh, yeah. Like, and he just couldn't stop. It was like an addiction.
Yeah.
A game.
Like, you don't like need $7 million. No one needs $7 million.
No. Oh, and it went from, it's gone over to Canada. That's what I'm listening to at the moment, him in Canada. Like spans the world. And then there's like funny characters, like his ex-wife is so funny.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Beck Rosen. Amazing. And then there's this guy. He's an actor now. I think his name's Matt Nagel. Have you heard his episodes yet?
No.
Oh my God, he's funny. He's like fucking this. And he sounds really bogan. I love him. He's like an ex footy player turned personal trainer turned actor.
Oh my God. Amazing career trajectory.
I think
there.
He was training Hamish, and that's how they met.
Yeah.
And I don't think he got swindled. I think he's more there for just the kind of, because he knew him and hung out with him and like watched these things go down. It's just so fascinating. Like,
yeah,
the way, and I'm not, I thought when I wrote about it, because I hadn't listened to it yet, I was like, well, how does someone like get that much money from someone? Like,
yeah.
Again, how, not like, not like Elizabeth Holmes, because that is stupid. And I do victim blame these companies, because like, why wouldn't you go and look at the lab and get some fucking proof?
That is fucking ridiculous. Right? And I have no problem yelling
at
them.
But Hamish was so good at acting like he was really successful, and he'd give them money, like classic Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
Or where he'd take the money from someone, like say he swindled me and Mel. He'd give me some of the money Mel paid him.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, look, I'm getting money back.
Yeah.
But then 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I want all my money now. I think I'm like done. He'd disappear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was really good at fooling people.
Well, that's what I mean with the first episode, because that was so far to me the most shocking, because it's this woman. She seems normal. She talks about meeting this guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they go on, I think she says 10 dates before anything like eventuates to even like a kiss or something. It's like a very slow burn relationship. It doesn't go like 0 to 100 or anything. And then they're going on like vacations to Byron and they're like, she's talking about how much they love surfing together and they sit on the beach and get a beer and have fish and chips. And it's so idyllic and so like easygoing and chill.
Yep.
And then slowly, I know. And then it's like slowly, like, I think she, he tells her about some money thing that he's doing and she gives him like 300K or something.
Yeah, her super.
To put into it, because like obviously it's your fucking boyfriend. You've been together for like and 8 months, 9 months.
And his job is like this investing and she'd worked in hedge funds.
Yes.
So she had like a vague knowledge of it.
Yeah. And also like, I can't stress enough how like 10 dates is a long time to even get to like
any
kind of intimacy, and then from there to actually have a relationship for months
that was
more.
Serious, yeah.
Like it was
he puts in the fucking
hours. In the work. Yeah. And then anyway, then she loses all her money because basically
he goes away. They come back from Byron.
Yeah, they come back she comes back from Byron and he's coming back a day later, and then he talks to her before he gets on the plane and then never answers her again, ever. And then her she tracks down the brother's number through like LinkedIn or something weird. And then he doesn't know anything about it or something. And then her friend is like, dude, I just saw something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like it. And it's like him being arrested at the airport or something, and his name isn't.
Well, the brother says, blah, 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 Hamish. And then it's the whole thing. And I said it out loud. Mm. But I went, who the hell is Hamish?
Yeah.
Because she goes, and then he goes, Hamish. And I go, Hamish? Who the? But she says, fuck.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Hamish? And I was like, oh, my God.
And it's cool. So it's fucked it's so fucked because that I would have been her. Like, I could not blame her in the slightest.
No, that's
you'd
the thing.
Be so trusting.
And it's not, I know I did go on a rant about Deborah Newell, but I think that's different because he wasn't like, here, give me, like, all this. He was like living in a house and had like arrest records in the house of like stalking women and stuff.
Yeah.
And like there were so many red flags that she chose to ignore because she wanted him to be what she wanted.
Yeah.
And I think that's so – I think it's a different thing here because they weren't always romantic. Like that first person in the first episode is a girlfriend, but there's friends and like people recommending, like there'd be people recommending him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this – I think it's Lisa Ho.
Lisa Ho gets it. Yeah,
the energy healer.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, it's like a friend of a friend going, yeah, because he didn't swindle every single person evidently. So some people would be getting money back and going, oh, this Hamish guy's great.
Like how –
it was so clever.
Ridiculously clever and also just psychopathic.
So insane.
It's fucked.
It's really good.
It's an amazing story. It's done really well.
You must
good on the Australian
because
it's another good one from them.
Yeah, really good.
They're just killing
it
with podcasts.
Yeah, number one in Australia. And then I think Maddie, the 9-1, has gone number one in the UK.
Oh my God.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah. See, I haven't started Maddie because I like to have like a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
To like, so when I start it, I basically burn through the entire season.
Yeah. Okay.
And it'll last me like a whole drive.
Like, there's only like 4 Maddies, I think I'm up to date.
Yeah. So when I last looked, there was like 3 or something when I was last doing it. So I was like, I need more.
It's
but
very,
I'm going to start it this weekend.
It's very good. I like it.
I started the doco on Netflix. I got bored.
See, I haven't watched any
of
that.
No, I got bored. And a lot of people are saying similarly. I think it's quite a it's just kind of, I guess in a way, something to do with the way the pace is not, it's hard to stay focused, I found. I also found that, like, I was losing my way a bit and getting a bit confused. But also it sort of has, like, this is what happened, these were the next steps, and then after that there's not a lot that you can really go off, you know?
Right.
It also might be just that.
It's very interesting.
I like podcasts more than I like docos now. That may actually just be it. Because to be fair, I didn't make it very far.
I like to put them on and cook or do the dishes, and I'm just in there listening to podcasts. I've never cooked so much in my life. I usually hate cooking.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll cook because I've got, you know, episode 3 of Maddie or the Ivan Black case files out. I'll cook. I want to cook so you can listen to it. But, yeah, Maddie's good. I find it really, really in depth. If you know a lot about the case, you might be bored. But yeah. I didn't know. I knew the basics of there were some inconsistencies in Jerry and Kate's story and the story of the people that worked at the resort. I knew a girl went missing. I knew a lot of people thought that had something to do with it. I'd read that amazing Twitter thread that goes...
Yeah, that's wild. That is just so ridiculous though, isn't it?
It's but that's
just
kind so of all extreme. I knew. So I find that the podcast really interesting and well done. He's got a nice voice, although he says Kresh and Tapas, which seems to be
Tapas
annoying.
Tapas is just not acceptable, sorry.
A lot of people. Kresh is like actually the correct
that's
way.
That's fine. I'll accept Kresh. But Tapas,
I don't think is the right way. But if you're Spanish, and it is...
It could be.
Feel free to call me out. I didn't think it was Tapas.
That theory, which I think one of the theories, or even it could have been, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, it could have been one of the police sort of theories that they were like investigating that because they were doctors that they had drugged the
sedated
kids.
Them and accidentally
and
killed them.
Because, like, look, like I'm saying, 100% we're not saying anything either way. This is just like me discussing the theory as a concept. But that to me reminded me so much of that leading theory on JonBenet Ramsey that Burke accidentally, her brother accidentally killed her.
Yeah.
And then the parents covered it up.
Yeah.
In that way where it's like no one in this family is evil. No one was plotting anything. It's just like a tragic accident that then their initial reaction was, shit, let's cover it up.
Let's cover our asses
because
badly.
This is bad. Yeah. And like, that was wild to me as a concept, but then I can also see that happening more than I can see that crazy Twitter thread happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Just because, I think going like this, like exceptionally planned evil thing that the parents are head of is just really almost unrealistic. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's not unrealistic. Maybe there's all this shit going on in the world that I don't know about. And I don't know a lot about those sorts of horrific pedophile ring sort of things. But like when I heard that Burke theory about JonBenet Ramsey, I was like, yes, I totally see how this could happen because like I used to play with my sister, like we used to play like the roughest fucking games.
Yeah.
And I sent Kate to hospital many times when we were kids because we just would do dumb shit. Like we'd be jumping on the bed and then she like fell off. Like I pushed her off or whatever, like because I was mad at her about something and she hit her head on the corner.
Christ.
But you know, like just things that like you're just lucky that
nothing more serious happened.
Or, yeah. So it's just like, yeah. And then obviously in the sense of Maddie, if that is actually what happened, if say – the parents had hypothetically, you know, sedated their kids and something went wrong, they'd be in deep shit.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was an accident. Anyway, it's just fascinating to me.
Yeah. It's a fascinating case.
It's a fascinating case. And I think that so much of the fascination is in that it's just such a normal family doing a normal thing, going on holidays. Mm. Even the fact, I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, I can't believe they left them in the room. But like when I then saw how close the restaurant was, and how they had set up, like... People were going to check. And then I know it may be controversial, but I did not judge them on that.
Yeah.
I was like, I kind of understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are quick to parent shame them.
And I don't think that's that weird. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a parent.
I think there's probably people leaving their kids every day and they don't get abducted or go missing.
Yeah.
So we just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
But because... she did go missing, then the spotlight is on them for leaving her in the first place.
I mean, I guess they were very young.
Yeah, they were.
But at the same time, like, yeah, it wasn't like they went all the way to the other side of the resort for dinner and then just left them there for like 6 hours. It was interesting to know that, because I think originally I thought that they had literally done that. They fucked off.
But then they also told the police in the podcast, they talk about it, where they're like, oh, it's just like being out in the back garden and it's not that close and you can't actually – you couldn't see the apartment from where they were sitting.
Yeah, and also it was weird that one of the doors opened onto the main street, which is like – like if it opened up only into the resort, that's – probably I would be even more understanding.
Yeah.
But with a door that opens onto the main street –
yeah.
It's weird. Anyway, but yes, anyway, it's all just sort of hypotheticals. That's just me saving my ass there. But also,
we're not in any way saying that Jerry and Kate McCann had anything to do with the disappearance of Madeline. There you go.
There you go. But yeah, it's a weird case.
It is. And great podcast.
Yeah. So that's like three podcasts that we're listening to.
Yeah, I'm not really,
moment.
I'm reading some crime fiction, but not any true crime.
I did read a pretty good crime fiction called Wimmera.
Oh, I've got that. Remember, I was like, oh, I'll read it too and then we can talk about it. Didn't read it.
I liked
trash.
It.
I like trash.
Yeah.
Crime fiction. Kindle Unlimited, like the free books.
Give me that free shit.
Yeah.
Wimmera was good. It was an Aussie writer. I can't remember his name. I think it was a him. Could be a woman. Don't know.
Well, it's one or the other, isn't it?
It's one or the other.
Do you want me to look it up? My computer's right here.
Yeah, sure.
Let's give him or her the credit they deserve.
But I really liked it. I wouldn't say it was like my favorite book that I've read in ages. It wasn't the most amazing book, but it was a pretty interesting story. And
Mark Brandy.
There you go. And it unraveled quite well. And I don't know, I was quite hooked. Like I read it quite quickly. So I always think that's a good sign.
Yeah,
of the book
when you're
if
kind
I
of powering it. Through it, mm-hmm. but not in a way you want to get over and done with. You just want to know what happened.
I just, yeah. And I was really into it. I got really into the world of it. And I think it, also, and this is like some of the reviews of it have said this, that it was like a really good sort of portrayal of small town life. And, you know, it's basically based on these two boys, they're friends when they're young. And some stuff happens. I'm not going to talk about what happens because I want you to read it.
I will read it. Julian gave it to me for my birthday and is annoyed that I keep reading
That's a good
on
present.
Kindle. Yeah, yeah, he went and bought me a bunch of crimey books and I haven't read any of them.
Sweet boyfriend. But yeah, and then it then jumps to, you know, I think like 10 years later and they're like one of the boys is in his 20s and still living in the town, the small town, and he's kind of like not really doing much with his life and yeah, all this stuff goes on from there. But yeah, it's good. I liked it.
Well, I just started another trash book.
so you won't be reading it anytime soon.
If anyone has Kindle and Kindle Unlimited, it's the author's name's L.J. Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of books on Kindle, because Kindle Unlimited is that thing where you pay monthly and then you can get books for free.
Yeah.
But they're often like not very good books.
Yeah.
And I did read a few. My mum and I love crime fiction and like trashy, not trashy, but you know what I mean? Not like literature. And so I'd read some like questionable things that were fine and entertaining. And then I read this one, the first book in the series is called Holy Island. And it's based in this part of England where there's this, like it's all, the woman lives there, the writer.
Mm.
So it's all based on actual locations. And there's this like old kind of where like someone, a saint lived, you know, like someone that was in servitude of God and became like it's super old, thousands of years old buildings and stuff. And there's this island that the tide comes over and you can't reach it by car.
Oh my God.
And that
I love that already.
You would actually like it because it's about a cult that like exists
on the island
and it's old timey, like old, like dark,
like Wicker Man vibes,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. On this island. And it was actually such a well-written book. Mm. And I was like, Mom, there's an actual good series on Kindle Unlimited. And I just kind of got back into, I think I'd read up to a point and I think she's a really fast writer, this woman, because suddenly there were two more.
Oh my God.
So I've just finished one. And no, I think I've read two in it like the space of 10 days because
they're
pretty easy
to read.
Reading.
Yep.
But it's good and it's like the same detective all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
DCI Ryan, you know, he's a tortured detective. He's very handsome and then he has an uglier sidekick, you know, the standard fare.
Yeah.
But it's quite like I like him because sometimes the tortured ones are a bit hard to relate to.
Yeah.
But I like him. And it's great. I highly recommend. So if you have Kindle, LJ Ross, and they're called the DCI Ryan books.
Okay. I'm going to read that. Holy Island.
Yeah, Holy Island.
One that I started that I think other people in the group might have read, and my friend Emma, who listens to the podcast.
Hi Emma. Sound like radio hosts.
She recommended to me, and I was doing an audiobook of it when I was on the road, and I guess because I started as an audiobook, I've never gone back to it because I only did audiobooks when I was doing my trip.
Oh, yeah.
I don't drive enough for them. But it's called it's this series by Tana French.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the first one's called In the Woods, and I'm so into
it. I've read that.
Okay. Is it really good?
I mean, I've read a long time ago. Okay. My mum's read those books too. We've basically read every crime series.
If there's a crime series, we've done it.
Yes, they are good. I quite like her.
Okay, because I need to go back to it because Emma was just like raving about it. And I was sort of like, and she mentioned it to me a few times over like the last, say, 6 months. And then when I was thinking of books to read, like an audiobook, I think I'd asked her again and she was like, do this one. And I remember like I got about a quarter of the way in and it just started getting interesting. But it was hard. I actually find fiction hard in audiobook form. I might be alone in that, but I really like non-fiction or memoir in audiobook because maybe it reminds me of podcasts but just long.
Yes.
Whereas
someone asked me, how did you find Say Sexy, Don't Get Murdered? And I said it was one of our listeners Instagrammed me because I grammed that I had my favourite murder book. I said, oh, I think I'd rather listen to it. I found it weird to read
them. Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to listen to it. It's just going to be like a long podcast where it's just Georgia talking for a while and then because they go chapter by chapter.
Right.
And it was only an excerpt and I'm not actually sure that it was in the right order. I feel like they might have just picked out good bits.
Yeah.
So I actually just put it down again. I might attempt to read it when it comes out, but I might get the audio. I'm not really an audiobook gal.
Neither, but it was really good traveling because
I've got some for sleepy time. So I've got Harry Potter, which is Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
But because I've read it 10 jillion times, it's just the voice to help me sleep.
Yes.
It's not really about listening to Harry Potter. So I don't really – and I listened to the Paul Holes one, but it's not a book. It's just an Audible series.
Yeah, it's more like
it's a podcast.
Podcast, yeah. Another one that I did that was a memoir – oh, it wasn't really a memoir. It was more just nonfiction – was called The Trauma Cleaner.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah. So I kind of went into it thinking it was going to be one thing, which was cleaning up crime scenes.
Yeah.
Which it isn't really. Like it's more
– because she's transgender. It's about that.
Yes. It's amazing. Yeah. Like I don't want to give too much away, but basically I didn't really know anything about what was going to happen. But it is more of a story of – her life. I've forgotten her name completely. I should probably find out. But it was more a story of her life. It is about Sandra.
Right.
So she is a transgender woman. She was probably one of the first transgender women in Australia to go through actual
gender
reassignment surgery. It's an amazing story. Like her life is insane. Like it goes straight from her childhood through.
Yeah.
And she herself, like it's based off interviews with her, like someone else writes the book, but her life, like her way of speaking and her way of describing her life is fascinating as well. Like she is just an amazing human being. Like you just want to like get into her brain but it does also take you through some of her like jobs and it's more about like hoarding and people with severe mental physical disabilities.
I nearly got the audiobook the other day because I thought it was going to be, oh, yay, crime scenes, like that Amy Adams.
Like that movie, yes.
Yeah, but it wasn't and I was like, I don't want to read this.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, it actually sounds really good and I should listen
and
to it.
The stuff, like the cleaning stuff is still fascinating because it's almost sometimes it's really, really sad. It's just these like people that just can't function in life and they're just like for whatever reason, whether it's mental health, whether it's physical related, like physical issues. And she's such a lovely human being. Like she goes in with such empathy. She doesn't judge people. Just the way that she interacts with them and how she sort of – because a lot of people when they hoard, they don't want to get rid of things. Obviously, that's why they're hoarding. It's not like they just like collect things and they don't give a shit when someone comes in to try and take it all away.
Yeah, they've got like connections to everything. Even if that is a pile of newspapers, they want that for whatever reason.
Exactly. And so the way she sort of like reasons with them is beautiful but still fascinating as well because you're also just like going into, inverted commas, someone's like mass of things that they've accumulated. Mm. So that in and of itself is fascinating. Yeah. Anyway, great book, can recommend, and is good as an audiobook. And yeah. I think you would actually like yeah, it as an audiobook.
I should listen to it.
Yeah.
Maybe next instead of a podcast. Maybe when I finish Hamish.
Yeah. I feel like you'll message me all the time. Yeah. You'll be like, oh my God, I'm up to this bit. Oh my God, this thing happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it a lot and I have been interested in it. We've been talking for a long time.
I know. And that was like so many book, like you guys have so many podcast and book recommendations now. Yeah. I never want to hear you ask me for one for a week.
For an entire week.
See ya.
See ya.